Well, good morning. Got a good looking crowd today. All 10 of you. No. But I'm glad you guys are here. But if you look in your bulletin, on the top left, there's a sign that says the extra mile. And today I want to talk about the extra mile. But before I get started, there was a gentleman who had a hard time talking, and his speech was slurred, and he wasn't very good speaking. He stuttered at times. So he went to a therapist, and the therapist said, well, I got a unique way to treat you. Every time you come for therapy, I want you to put marbles in your mouth and talk with marbles in your mouth. So after 6 months, the gentleman did that, and the very last day, he was able to speak without any marbles in his mouth. And the therapist said, well, now that you lost all your marbles, you're certified to be a pastor. But if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 48 says this, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Verse 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on to the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on to the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So I want to hone in on, or zoom in on, verse 41 today. It says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And this particular scripture is part of the well-known passage from the Sermon on the Mount. And the theme for this passage is a non-revengeful spirit. And this is very early in the life of the disciples. And Jesus, in my opinion, he gave them a free college advanced course on Christian endurance or on long suffering. And verse 41 is what I call the second mile verse or the extra mile verse. And this application of this verse could change the outlook on society. It could change outlooks in homes. It'd probably help eliminate some divorce courts, labor unions, some disgruntled employees, dysfunctional homes, dysfunctional churches, and everything if people would apply that verse in their life. And I've heard many different variations or or applications of the second mile philosophy. And in my opinion, it's a lot of it's a service that a lot of Christians today don't apply to themselves. But to introduce this message this morning, I want to explain some wording in the scripture and some of the customs back then when this scripture was written. So I'm going to show off my seminary degree for a second, okay? But I want to focus on verse 41. And it says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." The word compel, it means a great inconvenience or a readiness to submit to unreasonable demands. We all had in life, we've had all unreasonable demands put in front of us, whether it be at work, whether it be in our personal life, whether it be in church or family or marriages or whatnot. But Luke, in Luke chapter 6, verse 30, he states it this way. He says, "Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again." Now back to Matthew, the Roman mile was 1,000 paces, or 1,520 yards, which is a little shorter than the mile we know today. Twain means two. And in this context of scripture we read, it has reference to a Roman army. And if a soldier demanded that a Jewish man carry a burden for a mile, which was specified by law, then Jesus says we should carry it twain, or 2 miles, or an extra mile, right? So what is he telling you and I today when we read this verse? He's telling us to go above and beyond what is expected of us in our Christian life, in our personal life. But notice the wording Jesus uses. He doesn't say anything about the Roman soldier. In fact, he says, and whosoever shall compel. To you and I today, that would mean whosoever. It could be our neighbors. It could be our co-worker. It could be our spouse. It could be our church. It could be our friends, our family. But it's telling us that we should do a certain thing twice as much that is expected of us, if I'm reading that verse correctly. It says, go with them twain, or twice. So how many people are willing to go the second mile or the extra mile? That sounds tough to do with the lives we live and the hustle and bustle of our daily lives and things like that. We say, well, we're doing all we can to get by. We're doing all we can to stay afloat. But Scripture tells us, if someone asks us to go a mile, go with him twain, or go twice. Go the extra mile. And Scripture also warns us that there will be various and many opportunities to be compelled. In fact, Matthew 27:32 says, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. So the verse I just read, Matthew 27:32, would lead us to believe there is little opportunity to resist after being compelled. Simon had no choice but to carry the cross. But Jesus says the second mile is our own volunteering. And we've already determined that the second mile philosophy, it will not be an enjoyable trip unless we do it for God, unless we do it for the Lord. And there are certain things about being on that second mile or going the extra mile that keeps many Christians from following that second mile. And there's going to be some encounters as we're going on that second mile. And the second mile, or the extra mile, is going to be a lonely road. Just you and the Lord. You and God on that second mile. Are you traveling the second mile in your life right now? And there's only two types of Christians on this mile. Those who travel the second mile willingly, or those people who are forced to travel the second mile. And the second mile, it's not very crowded. I'll tell you that right now. The second mile is not very crowded. And it gets lonely when you go on that second mile or extra mile. And there's not a lot of people there that you can have fellowship with on that second mile. But I promise you, if you go the extra mile for God, or you go twain with God, Jesus is going to be on that second mile with you. But also, Satan will be on that second mile with you as well. And there's probably a lot of people returning home from that second mile. They say, well, I've tried the second mile. I've tried to go above and beyond for God. I've tried to go above and beyond for my spouse. I've tried to go above and beyond for my neighbors. And they quit. They couldn't carry it out. But every Christian has experienced loneliness in our Christian walk. We all, at times, get lonely. And sometimes we think the world's against us. Sometimes we think, oh gosh, how am I going to get out of this situation? How did I even get in this situation to begin with? But how am I going to get out of this mess I made? But the second mile, it never ends. It has no ending marker. And if you're on the second mile with God, and someone asked you, where are you at in your Christian life? And you answer them, I'm on the second mile. I'm wanting to go above and beyond what Jesus asked us to do. You can't say I'm halfway there or three-fourths of the way there, because there is no end on the second mile. And the Bible, I've read this thing numerous times, and it never introduces a third mile. The second mile is where it's at. So let me ask you a question this morning. How long have you been on that second mile? How long have you been coming to church or reading scripture and really, really wanting to pursue God? Or maybe a more accurate question would be, are you even on that second mile? But the second mile never ends. And the second mile will always be under attack. And there's a lot of landmines on that second mile. There's going to be a lot of shots fired, if you will. And there's going to be always someone on that second mile demanding that you go the second mile for them. And it's usually the same people over and over and over again. And there's going to be attacks from Satan when you're on this second mile. He's going to be trying to lure you away from doing the right thing. He's going to be saying, you went to church last week. You don't need to go back this week. That church has plenty of money. You don't need to give the church any money. And you're going to have Satan saying, you don't need to do that. And you're just going to second guess yourself. And you're going to start wanting to backtrack off that second mile. And Satan may use friends to detour you off that second mile. He might say, hey, I got Dallas Cowboy tickets. You want to go with me? Hey, I'm going to the Ranger game. You want to go with me? He may use your friends. He may use your family, where one family member wakes up and says, well, I'm not going to church today. And the rest of the family says, well, me neither. You know, Satan may use family. He may use fear. And we're all scared of something. Satan may use fear. That church don't need you. You don't need to go to that church. No one in that church likes you. You're an outcast of that church. Why do you continue to go above and beyond to fit in? And Satan uses those tactics of fear and rejection. But we can always expect attacks for those who refuse to go on the second mile. And it's interesting, I put it in this perspective today, because just this week, I experienced the naysayers that are scared to go on that second mile. You know, people say, well, why are you always doing something for your church? There's other people there that can do it. You know, I'm sure you guys get those questions. And people say, well, you guys are Baptist. You guys are always forcing God down our throats. Or why do you always have to bring up God when we talk? Those are the people who refuse to go on that second mile. Those are the people who are scared. Those are the people who don't want to give up everything to follow God. Those are the people that's going to try to pull you down. They don't want to see you progressing in your walk with God and understanding the principle of being on that second mile with God. You're going to have a lot of criticism also on that second mile. And there's going to be a lot of expectations for those who refuse to go on that second mile. A worldly Christian, they won't go on that second mile. They'll come to church, and they'll sit in the back, they'll put a 10 in an offering plate, but they don't want anybody to ask them about volunteering for the church. They don't want anything to do with volunteering. They just want to sit in the back, hang loose, and don't want any responsibility in the church. But if I'm reading that scripture correctly, verse 41 says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And this, the Bible I have, those letters are in red. So we all know what that means. That's what Jesus says. So it's a weird principle if you really think about it. He says, if someone wants you to go the extra mile, or go a mile, go twain, go twice. And why do you think Jesus says that? I think he says that because he wants us to be the light of the world, what Scripture tells us. He wants us to stand out. And we're all parents or have been parents of little kids and older kids. And parents, we want to be proud of our kids. We want them, if he gets a B, we want them to get an A, right? If they play sports and they're on the B team, we want them to be on the A team. We want them to always go above and beyond. And that's what this verse is telling us. If someone expects you to go a mile, Jesus tells us to go twain, or go the second mile, or go the extra mile. In fact, the second mile is a very burdensome road. In Galatians 6:2 it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But I've noticed in my 7 years of being in ministry, people who are on that second mile, they're always tired and weary. You know, there's no vacations on the second mile. When I hear all these energetic people that go to church and things like that, and they say, hey, let's go play golf. I'm thinking, aren't they tired? You know, there's so much work to be done for Christ. There's so much work to be done here in White Settlement. There's so much work to be done for the kingdom of God all over the world. And I'm always thinking, why are these people tired? You know, I want to ask them, are you on the second mile? But they probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But people are scared to go above and beyond what's expected of them. Whether it be at work, whether it be in their marriage, whether it be in their home, whether it be in their walk with God. But I'm here to tell you today that the second mile, or the extra mile, always leads to happiness. I know that sounds crazy. But the first mile is what is required by law. But the second mile is done voluntarily. There's no joy in doing the second mile, but it leads to happiness. And in the verse that we read in Matthew 5, look at verse 47, it says, "And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye have more than others? Do not even the publicans so." So I hope every person is tuned in to what I'm fixing to say. And I'm not a licensed counselor by any means. I'm not a doctor. I'm a pastor. But I'm going to give you a reason your life is not as happy as it should be. And I'm going to give you a reason why you don't have joy. And I'm going to give you a reason why you feel like in your life you're missing something. Because you're not on the second mile. That's it. So pay Steve as you leave at your free counseling session. If you're not happy in your life right now, I'm willing to bet you're not going above and beyond for your church, for your God, for your spouse, for your kids. I'm just willing to bet that you're not on that second mile yet. But when you're on the second mile, it leads to happiness in your heart. And Jesus, what's he want most of all? He wants our heart. He don't want your money. He don't want your truck. He don't want your house. He wants your heart. But happiness of the heart never seeks recognition. The happiness of the heart is a reward for being on that second mile. When you're on that second mile, you can sense the Holy Spirit in your life. But many church members have the attitude, and I say it quite often, many church members have the attitude of, serve me, I want to be served. And that's a problem. No one wants to be the servant anymore. Everybody wants to be served with something. Everybody wants to feel good. Everybody wants to get that attaboy sticker at work. Everybody wants to get that attaboy from a church member. But everybody knows who the greatest servant of all time was. And if you don't, for $19.95, you can dial my 1-800 number and I'll tell you. But the greatest servant of all time was Christ. And as Christians, who are we supposed to be like? Christ. So if you still have your Bibles open, turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And if you guys have been attending this church very often, or very long, there's been numerous recordings that Clayton records, and you can probably play them all back, and you hear me say, oh, this is one of my favorite Bible verses, but I truly mean this one. This is one of my favorite Bible verses in the whole world. Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. When one denies themselves, he no longer makes the provision for self to be satisfied. And the second mile leads to happiness in your home. When a husband puts his wife first, and a wife puts her husband first, and they're both willing to do whatever it takes to make the other one happy, that's being on the second mile. That means you're willing to go the extra mile for your spouse. In fact, Ephesians 5:25 says, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. If every married couple in America would apply the second mile philosophy, there'd be no divorces. There'd be no bickering at home. There'd be no arguments, except maybe where to eat that night. You know, but there would be no, if everybody would go above and beyond for their spouse, our homes all across America would be satisfied. But being on the second mile also leads to a healthy spiritual life. And the second mile leads to happiness. And the second mile leads to rewards. Rewards will only be given to those who are on the second mile. And I hope and pray, I use the illustration about being on the second mile for your spouse. But church speaking, I encourage you to ask yourself a serious question. We know Jesus Christ is always going to be on that second mile for you. The question is, are you on the second mile with Him? Will you go the second mile for Christ? And that's a tough question to answer. There's times I don't feel like getting up going to church. There's times I don't feel like studying Scripture. There's times I don't feel like making hospital visits. There's times I don't feel like talking to people about ministry. And I'm sure you guys have times like that too. But just ask yourself a question. Are you willing to go the extra mile for God and for your church, for your community? And as Sandy comes and plays, just ask yourself, and I hope you highlight that verse in your Bible, verse 41. It says, And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So Jesus is telling us, whatever is expected of us, we should always go the second mile or go the extra mile. And I know God wants us on that second mile with Him. And it don't cost you one dime to be on that second mile. It just takes obedience to God, faith in God, and trusting God that everything's going to be okay. And just like parents, we want what's best for our kids or our children. And I promise you, God wants the same thing for His children. If you're a believer, you are a child of God. And God wants what's best for you in your life. And sometimes we forget that. At least I do. We forget what it means to have that close relationship with Christ. And I'm going to tell a story. I have a good friend who passed away Friday afternoon. He just had his 46th birthday. He's same age as me. And as I got the call, I was writing this message. All joking aside, I was sitting in front of my computer looking up scripture for this lesson or this message, eating an ice cream sandwich. And I thought, Jason will never get to eat another ice cream sandwich. That was my first thought. My second thought was, he's not going to get the chance to go on that second mile. But we're still here. We have that opportunity to go on that second mile, to go above and beyond of what is expected of us. So as Sandy plays, if you have anything on your heart you want to pray about, I encourage you to come forward. If you don't feel comfortable praying with me, you can pray with Jenny. Or if you just want to come down and pray by yourself and say, Lord, help me get on that second mile. I want to go above and beyond of what you want. Or if you're not on that second mile, I just pray that you come down and pray that God will show you how to get on that second mile.